Good evening, folks, and welcome back on this 16th day of May, 2020. I'm your host, Mark Call. And given the complete and total assault on the rule of law, I think it's important that we talk about that this evening. Whether it's man's law or the law of the creator of the universe written down for us in Scripture and, in fact, reinforced by the Declaration of Independence and other things that once constituted the supreme law of at least this land. And we also need to talk about what we as individuals should do about it when the supreme law of the land is ignored, or worse, by those who put their hand on a Bible and swear to preserve, protect, and defend something they basically intend to gang rape, along with you. And that today is the real subject of where I want to go and what we're going to talk about. But I want to introduce it with a couple of statements you may have heard. Interestingly, these are all things that once were associated with either the legal community, those that did put their hand on that Bible, or the medical community, those that took a different oath once upon a time. Seems like nobody anymore takes any of those oaths, and if they do, they don't take them seriously. But for the most part, they don't even bother. How about this one when it comes to the medical community? Ever heard this expression? First, do no harm. Well, that doesn't seem to apply if your name is Dr. Mengele, Dr. Strangelove, or Dr. Fauci. It also doesn't seem to apply if you basically think, hey, we will destroy the economy, we'll save a couple of lives, maybe, but we'll kill who knows how many tens of thousands and their children and their children's children by destroying everything that they've built, worked all their lives for, and many cases have, given the ultimate full measure of devotion, sacrificing their lives or fortunes in order to preserve something which now is being destroyed by all of this. Here's another phrase you might have heard from some on the far left, my body, my choice. Ironically, as I pointed out for a long time, that doesn't mean you have the ability to defend your body against somebody that wants to rape it or maybe now inject it. It only seems to apply if there's a baby growing in your body that you want to be able to commit murder to. So ironically, my body, my choice is now a cruel joke. As people talk about, well, you don't have a choice when it comes to your body when we want to do something different to it. We being, of course, the almighty state. So my body, my choice, all I can say to that at this point is, yeah, sure, you hypocrites, you stinking idiots that prattle that expression and don't have a clue what it really means. If it in fact is your body, your choice, you ought to be able to choose whether or not to, bend over and take a vaccination, for one example. All of that, I'm going to suggest, points in one direction, and it's the central theme for today. Free people choose. Let me say it again. Free people choose. The Bible, as I like to point out, makes that very abundantly clear. Deuteronomy chapter 30 is repeated twice in there, basically, but in verses 15 and 19 in particular, I've laid before you life and blessing, death and cursing. Therefore, choose life, it says. You're looking for a two-word summary of Scripture, choose life is a pretty darn good one. John 10:10, the Mashiach says, I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. What are we seeing today? A culture that chooses death. Now, they'll tell you it's all about life. That is, except when they want to abort it in the womb or destroy it one way or another by literally destroying everything that this nation was once built upon. Let's finish that statement that I started a minute ago. Free people choose. Slaves follow orders. And there are certainly, no doubt about it, lots and lots of slaves in America today. And that, of course, is America with a K. Now, as I've suggested now for more than a few years, there are several things that we can say about slavery. I don't intend to repeat those today, at least not other than just by way of summary. But one of them is this. Those that don't know their rights don't have any. I've done entire shows, groups of shows even, on various things that were once called God-given rights, constitutionally protected rights, and so forth. They've been turned into civil liberties, which basically means privileges revocable at will by the almighty state. Again, those who don't know their rights don't have any. And, I guess a related point, America, and in this case I generally make it clear, I spell that with a K, America with a K is no longer free. For a long time, pretty much as long as I've been doing this show, I've made examples of various elements of the Bill of Rights and pointed out that shall not be infringed doesn't mean that, hasn't meant that since at least 1938. And then again in 1968, we'll infringe the living hell out of your right to keep and bear arms all we want to. 20,000, 30,000 gun laws now, all of them utterly unconstitutional, make that point. As if we had any doubts about it, the Fourth Amendment is pretty much a dead letter. No warrant shall issue but upon probable cause. Oh, we don't need no stinking warrants. We'll grope you if we choose to at an airport. We'll check your stuff. We'll stop you on the streets. Hey, we don't need even probable cause anymore. So we could go through the whole Bill of Rights, been there, done that, not going to do that again. But let's just put it this way. The Bill of Rights is basically a dead letter. But wait a minute. Here's the point. It's far deader today than it was even a few months ago. How about this one? Dishonest weights and measures. We have the curse of debt slavery and so many Americans that don't even understand how they've been enslaved. I like the phrase that, once it was attributed to Frederick Douglass. Can't prove that, so I'll just simply state it without knowing exactly who said it first, but I've certainly repeated it for years. Let those who falsely believe they are free rattle their chains. How about tax slavery? Remember when a bad king, according to Scripture, required a 10% tithe? Even Ronald Reagan weighed in on that one at one point. Under the Pharaoh that dealt with Joseph, people were literally put into slavery when their tax rates were limited to 20%. The maximum that a slave, according to the biblical understanding of slavery, actually bond service is a better way to put it. Today's abject slavery is far worse than anything the Scripture would have allowed. But even then, a period of indentured servitude to pay off a debt or to make right or wrong was limited to 7 years, after which the slave would go free. Isn't it cool that if you add up state, local, and IRS taxes, the average slave in America today pays far more than 50% of his income? And I guess most of them would be thrilled if they could get off free after only 7 years. No, Big Brother wants you as a slave for life. But hey, folks, all of that was then. This is now. So I did this somewhat lengthy introduction basically saying this is a struggle because what I don't want to do is repeat a show that I've done before. There you had a summary of so many shows that we've done before, in fact, more than once. And related items, let's just throw these on the table so we can move on. Self-evident truths. Once upon a time, there were certain self-evident truths, like the fact that we have a creator and that the point of government is to secure the rights to life, liberty, and property given to us, no, not by Big Brother, but by that creator. How about shows like this? What is law? Where does it come from? The founders answered, it came from our creator. It was exemplified by the common law. It was outlined for us in various precedents, all based on, well, among other things, Deuteronomy, the most quoted book during the constitutional era, during the era of the committees of correspondence. How about this phrase? You've probably heard it. It's attributed first to John Knox, later Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin, and others, Martin Luther King as well, probably paraphrased a version of it. But it goes something like this, rebellion to tyrants is obedience to God. Uh-oh, that'll get your store knocked down today, and you'll lose your tax exemption if you're a 501c3 whore church licensed entity. Oh, which brings me to one more that I've done shows on. Not going to spend any time on it because this one's easy. Romans 13. Government-inspired version. You've probably all heard it. Let every soul be subject unto the higher power. Achtung und, there is no higher power than the God that, well, isn't the one that wrote the Bible. It's the one that's telling you you don't have a right to life, liberty, and property, to keep and bear arms, to freely assemble, worship, petition the government that doesn't care about you anyway for a redress of grievances and so forth. The Romans 13 GIV version really kind of boils down to this. When Big Brother says, jump, you slave, you, say, how high, O the real God that I worship. Well, folks, let me put it this way. I've seen article after article. I've done entire shows on it, of course. Anyone that can't see through Romans 13 government-inspired version is A, scripturally illiterate. You can start with the midwives in Egypt who were given houses by Elohim because what? They disobeyed Pharaoh. You see, David, in his continuing struggle with King Saul, who wanted him dead. If David had been a good little Romans 13 reader, he should have just said, here I am, Saul, go ahead and kill me like you want to.
And that would have been that for the ultimate line of the Mashiach. Finally, the Constitution, too, is real clear. That is, if we ever bother to read it. So for those that can't understand why the Romans 13 version of the government-inspired Bible is an absolute crock, I'll just say it this way. Hey, go ahead and take the mark, you blithering idiot, you. Scripture, it literally is so consistent, it's impossible not to understand that the only way to read Romans 13 in the government-inspired edition version is to just take it completely out of context and ignore everything else that it says that makes it clear. Hey, maybe we should obey God and not men, especially when there's an absolute in-your-face contradiction. Oh, and especially when we actually have a supreme law that says the supreme law is from him, not from them. So it really is a lot more simple than Big Brother would like you to understand. Where we are today, now, is this. Given what has already happened, I want to go with the rest of the show with this understanding. Let me say that again. We're way past any point where I think there's any rational argument that America is not a land of slaves, where the law has nothing whatsoever to do anymore with the Constitution or with the supreme law or with the things that were outlined in the Declaration of Independence. We got a bunch of tyrants, no, worse than that, traitors, who put their hands on a Bible, state, federal, local, you name it level, and they lie through their blankety-blanking damnable teeth. And so for those with eyes to see where we're at is something that's already happened. Folks, I've said this before lately, and I'm going to repeat it now, and we're just going to start there and move on. There has been a revolution in this country. It's a Bolshevik revolution. It's a fascist revolution. Call it what you want, a communist revolution. And the bad guys, those who despise the Constitution with every fiber of their being, almost as much as they despise the God who wrote the Bible, so far have won. The United States, as we grew up in, especially if you're older than about 40, is dead, buried. Stick a fork in it. They've put a wooden stake in its heart. If there is to be any recovery at this point, and I pray that there will be, most importantly, of course, the answer in Scripture is to come out of her. That's the point of the show. So there's an answer for how we deal with what's gone on. But at this point, in order for there to be any kind of a return to anything, scriptural, constitutional, there has to be a counter revolution. Let me say it again. The United States as we knew it is dead, buried, stick a fork in it. The bad guys have won. And the only option at this point is for us to come out of her, understand, rip off the mask, if you will, and act like we know who we serve. It's a bit like a soldier. This is the analogy that I want to start the rest of the show off with. A soldier who's, for example, been through basic training, maybe seen some battle simulations, fired a rifle on the range a few times, you know, crawled under some barbed wire, climbed a few fences, then suddenly he's in a real battle for the first time in his life. He hears a nearby snap, then a pop, and he looks over and he sees his buddy no longer has a head. Well, that's where we are, folks. Now it's real. So welcome to COVID-1984, America with a K. Oh, and also with a famine, with a coming currency collapse, probably blood in the streets, and as we're getting ready to talk about, also a syringe that's waiting for you, unless you stand up and say, well, as my dad used to say when I would do something really stupid as a child, hey, the answer is not just no, it's hell no. No more. I'm not going to review, other than briefly, all of the other things that make all of this so clear. The supply chain breakdown, it's a done deal. The meat packing plant closures, a done deal. The FDA, DHS, so many three-letter acronyms, right? Et al., which have now declared that Achtung, things that used to be kind of part of Americana, especially rural Americana, like salad bars, buffets, soft serve, ice cream bar, soda islands, smorgasbords, you know, places where you could go in, have a meal, sit with your friends, go up to the salad bar, make yourself a salad, all of that are dead and gone. We got 36 million so far out of work, and that's just child's play compared to what's coming. Just a proof of concept. So from there, what I want to go is just a couple articles, recent ones, of course, to kind of further bring that point home. Here's one from Stefan Stanford at the All News Pipeline. Long article. I'm just going to give you the headline and a couple of the salient points. Americans are being set up for the kill. Food shortages are already here in America, so why are we sending millions of dollars of food to our communist overlord enemies? Yeah, it's true, folks. Imagine this. You got people that are realizing if you don't have any meat in your freezer, you may never be able to afford it again. You get a little pop, of course, when the farmers realize that they aren't going to be able to ship a lot of beef to market. Other things like this, as the supply chain breaks down, are in a whole world of hurt. Maybe they can't afford to feed the animals. So what do? They take them to market. They take them to slaughter. Prices drop, but not for long. Then, of course, when the herds are depleted, prices dramatically increase. We're on that part of the curve. If you're thinking about it, if you haven't yet stocked up on it, get it while you can. The same thing goes for food. Now, interestingly, what is America doing in the process here? Turns out we've upped the exports of meat to China, the ones that we're seemingly planning on going to war against. Is this stupid, or is it just that China is actually pulling the chains on the Pelosi's and Schumer's and other scumbags that seem to be the deep state operatives running things behind the scenes? Maybe Fauci and Bill Gates, too. I saw a great quote that went with this article. It was from a reader who was commenting on all the stupidity now masquerading as "you will do it or else" in America with a K. He said this: "Let's just all stay home, go broke, and starve to death. We'll die, but at least it won't be from COVID-1984. Briefly, the article goes on to note, hey, look, we know the following. The Wuhan coronavirus was engineered at the Wuhan Virology Biosafety Level 4 lab in communist China. They deliberately engineered a gain-of-function set of properties to infect and kill humans, make it maximally transmissible. The story doesn't mention it, but I've reported on it before. We also know that under the Obama regime, the National Association for Infectious Diseases, the thing that Fauci ran, in other words, not only provided the virus to the Wuhan lab, but seems to have given them $7 million, too, to develop the thing that's now infecting the country and pushing Fauci to prominence. Isn't that an amazing coincidence? After releasing the virus, the communist Chinese government desperately sought to hide its origins. They destroyed evidence. They executed whistleblowers. And at the time, communist China was commiserating, conspiring with who? The World Health Organization, how's that for a misnomer, to make sure the rest of the world would delay any response until everybody was booga, 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 scared to death, and the dirty plan could play out to the max. There's more, but you know the rest of that by now. How about this story? Now, this is where the rubber really starts to meet the road, folks. This piece is from John Rappaport, who's been a skeptic for a long time about this. He notes that, as do others, isn't it ironic? It's almost like people's noses are being rubbed in it. If you have ever read Scripture, and you know the mark of the beast, 666, 666, and so forth, lots of sixes in various bills that are being pushed by the satanically evil state. H.R. 6666. The aptly numbered bill, writes Rappaport, moving forward in the U.S. House Energy and Commerce Committee, and it's entitled TRACE. Listen to this. You've probably heard about it, but if you haven't, how's this for literally sticking people's noses in it and tell them to bend over and take one? TRACE stands for testing, reaching, and contacting everyone, whether you like it or not. And among other things, notes Rappaport, it officially embeds the snitch culture to benefit the new agents of their state. And the text actually says this, quote, to authorize the Secretary of Health and Human Services to award grants to eligible entities to conduct diagnostic testing for COVID-1984 and related activities such as contact tracing. Now, what does that mean? That means Big Brother wants to know even more. Everywhere you go, everybody you're in contact with, and all of this is about, hey, if it looks like the mark of the beast, maybe that helps to explain why they call this H.R. 6666. And they're going to use mobile health units and, quote, as necessary, at individuals' residences, and for other purposes. They're talking about funding this abomination to the tune of $100 billion, but they can print that, so it doesn't matter how many zeros are actually in there, for fiscal year 2020, with more for the future as they implement the coming mark. And as Rappaport puts it, no doubt slightly tongue in cheek. Why don't they simply advertise, hey, have you ever wanted to run around like a little fascist, targeting the unwary, the sheep, the outliers, the rebels, the dissenters? Here's your chance. The almighty state will pay you to do it. Who knows? Maybe the government will design a special uniform for you, embroidered with the logo of a skull, or maybe a virus with spikes. He talks about Bill Gates. I won't spend much time on that particularly nasty, evil, satanic scumbag, other than to say, as he calls it, this is from FAIR, the longstanding media watchdog group, in an article from September of 2016 about Bill Gates' Death Star. And it says the Gates Foundation gives grants in the hundreds of thousands, often millions, to media organizations, the propagandists, such as NBC Universal, Al Jazeera, BBC, Viacom, CBS, participant media, pro-charter school stuff, and all kinds of other wonderfully worthy but very much left-leaning causes. And the Gates and the Gates Foundation, two entities, are sizable shareholders in Comcast, primary investor for BuzzFeed and Vox, as well as the parent corporation of MSNBC and NBC News. In 2009, the New York Times reported the Gates Foundation was partnering with media companies to write and shape stories with embedded messages in prime time dramas, including Booga Booga Booga, Be Afraid, Be Very Afraid, about things that might cause the spread of infectious diseases. Yes, you need a vaccine. Aren't we clever? And, of course, his enormous wealth and reach, says the New York Times, of the various media parent corporations that he runs via the strings attached, seems to exempt Gates from routine disclosure requirements, you know, for lesser billionaires. And there's more and more and more on that score. But here is the other interesting related part. I'm going to go to break with this one because I'm going to ask a question. Look and ask yourself, if these people are planning these things, if they're rubbing your nose in it, they're requiring you to wear face masks, guess what? There's a problem with those, and if you're not aware of it, you will be in just a minute, but be aware of that. They're talking about mandatory vaccinations, they're talking about tracing, they're talking about basically telling you bend over because slaves don't have rights, don't you know? And I'll ask it this way. Given that we know that Fauci has, well, participated with the communist Chinese, they're not talking much about that, in designing the very thing that has promoted him to such a position of power, where he's now the de facto dictator of the United States, Trump ought to just step aside. You know what, folks? He hasn't fired this blankety-blanking SOB, and why not just call it the Fauci White House, as I'm hearing more and more people say? If he doesn't fire, well, no, he should have fired the guy a long time ago. The fact that he hasn't speaks volumes, because they have allowed the country to be destroyed. So the question, again, who do you trust? We know that they've been caught lying about the figures, padding the numbers, making COVID-19 booga, booga, booga so much of a threat, so much more of a threat than it ever would have been. Now, that doesn't mean that they don't also have a phase two part of the binary weapon in plan. We'll see on that score. But in any case, I got to say it. This is a theme I'm going to keep coming back to. Who do we trust? Do we really trust these people that have brought such evil upon the United States and seem intent to completely destroy it, to save you, to protect you from anything? Well, if you doubt that, when we get back, we'll talk a little bit about the plandemic face mask issue, and that'll help to make the point. Let me introduce it this way. This is a piece actually comes via LouRockwell.com, Gary Coles, MD, and also Dr. Russell Blaylock, all of whom have weighed in on this. I've done several stories over recent weeks with everything from nurse practitioners and nurses in major hospitals to other MDs suggesting that a fabric face mask is not only worse than useless, it probably causes problems. Blaylock's article notes that even the good masks, even the M95 masks, can cause other problems that are, in some cases, even worse than the fabric masks. Now, the N95 masks might actually prevent you from breathing in certain things, unlike the fabric masks that don't do squat, but they do have other issues, which does, in fact, tell us a whole lot about the real agenda at play here. And we'll pick it up there right after the bottom of the hour break.
Welcome back now to the second segment for this evening. This is your host, Mark Call. And among other things today, what we're doing is talking about big lies that people have been told and how dramatically that has affected what was once a free country and now is literally dropping dramatically, there you go, into abject slavery. Not just the subtle kind that the dumbed down could ignore before, but the kind that basically says when Big Brother says jump, you say how high. If you're a church, well, we have the purse strings to control you. And if you're a business, well, we just plain want to kill you, destroy your business, and take what you have if you aren't what we declare in our godlike wisdom to be essential. That applies to restaurants and gyms and any kind of places where people gather, get their nails or hair done, you name it. The kinds of things that once provided jobs to about half of the American workforce and provided also about half of the entire GDP. Well, no more, because that part's gone forever. Anyway, back to the plandemic face mask issue. And as I went to break, I was talking about an article essentially that Dr. Russell Blaylock has written describing how masks, the kind that are being mandated by the idiots to the idiots who don't know any better. Did I really say that, folks? Yeah. Listen to this. In many patients, these masks can easily cause hypoxia in some, cause hypercapnia in others, or in some cases the same patients, impair one's immunity. That's probably a biggie because harmful respiratory viruses and bacteria as well get exhaled. They capture themselves in the mask, and that forces the virus and the bacteria to be rebreathed again and again and again, increasing the bacterial or viral load to the point where maybe somebody's immune system could have fought it off, but if you keep concentrating it and rebreathing it, maybe you can cause a cytokine storm. It can also increase the concentration of potentially harmful viruses in the nasal passages. So, the problem is, a lot of these lying scumbags, journalists and so-called bureaucrats and doctors, are ignoring, or maybe they know and are just plain, they could care less, the downsides of requiring under penalty of law the wearing of masks by otherwise perfectly healthy, unaffected, uninfected, asymptomatic people, especially those living in areas of the country that aren't affected anyway, except by the destructive impacts of the Big Brother overwhelming response to this thing. All right, there's a lot in here about false positives and so forth. I'm going to skip over all of that. We've done that before. Suffice it to say that if you take a test, hey, they're going to probably say you're positive for it if it benefits them to the extent of saying, now we control you. But here's what Blaylock notes. The article's entitled, Face Masks Pose Serious Risks to the Healthy. By wearing a mask, the exhaled viruses are not able to escape. They'll concentrate in the nasal passages, enter the olfactory nerves, and then travel into the brain. Researchers found that about a third of the workers that had to wear these things developed headaches with the use of the mask. Most that had pre-existing headaches were worsened by the mask wearing, and about 60% of them required pain meds for relief. Well, that's good news if you're bare, I guess. As to the cause of the headaches, yeah, straps and pressure from the mask could be causative, but the bulk of the evidence actually points towards hypoxia, which is oxygen deprivation, and or hypercapnia, which is excessive blood CO2, as the cause. It's known, for example, that an N95 mask, if worn for hours, can reduce blood oxygenation by as much as 20%. Could even lead to loss of consciousness, as happened to one fellow who was driving around alone with an N95 mask in his car. He passed out, drove into some stuff, and caused injuries. A more recent study involved 159 healthcare workers, age, these are young ones, 21 to 35 years old, and they found that 81% of them developed headaches from wearing a face mask. Some had pre-existing headaches that were made worse. All felt like the headaches affected their work performance, which may be another side effect that Big Brother and Dr. Mangala Fauci are probably excited about anyway. Maybe they'll be dumbed down enough by hypoxia and hypercapnia that they don't notice what people are feeding them. Fortunately, no one is telling the frail, the elderly, those with lung diseases such as COPD, emphysema, or pulmonary fibrosis, you know, the kinds of things that make them more likely to die anyway and have it attributed to COVID-19, of the dangers of wearing a facial mask of any kind, which can cause severe worsening of lung function. The importance of these findings, says Blaylock, is that a drop in oxygen levels, or hypoxia, is associated with, you ready? An impairment of immune system function.
He goes into the detail about various CD4 plus T lymphocytes and so forth. Suffice it to say, there's a powerful immune inhibitor that is being, in fact, inhibited from doing its job. Furthermore, cancer grows best in a microenvironment that's low in oxygen. Another danger to wearing the mask on a daily basis, especially if worn for several hours, is that a person infected with a respiratory illness can expel some of the virus back with each breath, especially if it's a good mask, tightly fitting, N95, and they're constantly rebreathing the viruses, raising the concentration in the lungs and nasal passages. And you ready for this? Even more frightening, newer evidence suggests that in some cases the virus can enter the brain by way of the olfactory nerves, the smell nerves, which connect directly with the area of the brain dealing with recent memory and memory consolidation. So by wearing a mask, the exhaled viruses cannot escape. They'll concentrate in the nasal passages, enter the olfactory nerves, and travel into the brain. Nothing to worry about here, folks. Hey, Big Brother only has your best interest in mind as he's destroying your lives, your children's lives, dumbing you down, taking away your freedom that was once constitutionally protected, and basically saying, you're a slave, and we're going to prove it to you, and even rub your noses in it by mandating something, and we're going to call it the mark of a beast, and we're going to even not even try to hide it anymore. This is beyond the pale. But wait, there's more. Now, before I do this next piece, I'm going to quickly read just one line or two from Matthew 24. And remember, the context here is about verse 4. The Mashiach, Yahushua, is being asked, hey, by the disciples, tell us, when will all of these things be? What is going to be the marker for the end of the age? Now, he gives a whole list of stuff, but one of the most important, the first one out of the gate, is take heed that no one deceives you. That seems to be the central theme. Deception. Oh, wait a second. Do you think we're seeing that now? Oh, yeah, there's wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes in diverse places, a lot of things that are listed in here. But the deception issue, I'm going to contend, has probably never been greater, and it's never been more worldwide, and it's never been more obviously, undeniably destructive. But they're just getting rolling. Okay, this piece comes from Mike Adams and Natural News, and he says anyone who thought the U.S. military was preparing to force vaccinate every American just got a little bit more evidence that that's exactly the plan. According to a new press release, it stated yesterday, from the U.S. Department of Defense, featuring an announcement from Lieutenant Colonel Mike Andrews, the DOD is partnering with HHS, a public-private partnership, as it turns out, another company that is called Apiject, to acquire, ready for this, half a billion, 500 million Apiject vaccine injection devices, with deliveries expected to begin as soon as October of this year. Spearheaded by the DOD's Joint Acquisition Task Force, JATF, in coordination with the HHS Office of the Assistant Secretary for Preparedness and Response, the contract will support an appropriately named thing, right, at warp speed, if you recall Trump's admonition, jumpstart to create a U.S.-based high-speed supply chain for pre-filled syringes later this year using the well-established blow-fill-seal, BFS, aseptics, plastics, manufacturing technology, blah-de-blah, basically suitable for, well, bending you over a car hood or over your desk or whatever they may and injecting you whether you like it or not. They're going to have 100 million of these things by year-end 2020, 500 million next year. Connecticut, South Carolina, and Illinois are the test beta test sites. And not only that, there's more news, too. There's an optional, says the Apiject site, optional RFID tag on each pre-filled BFS syringe. Apiject makes possible the giving of the injection, and the healthcare worker will be able to launch a free mobile app and tap the pre-filled syringe on their phone, capturing the NFC tag's unique serial number, GPS location, and date and time, and then the app will upload that to a government-selected cloud database to verify, Achtung's that you not only have your papers, you have your poke. Und if you don't, they know where you live, says Adams. Yep, the plan here is you'll be tagged, tracked, bagged, and injected. And it doesn't matter whether you choose life or not. It'll be against your will. And all of this is being married with Trump's Operation Warp Speed, which bypasses the usual protocols of vaccine safety, testing, and clinical trials. Now remember, folks, it's so important that you get the poke, because booga, 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 we've been working hard to scare the living hell out of you for so long that we're thinking you're going to be stupid enough to just bend over and take one. Do you think they're going to be able to do long-term testing and see what unnoticed side effects may appear a year, 2 years down the line, in months? I don't count on it, but not to worry. If you're the vaccine manufacturer, Big Brother is going to indemnify you against that. If a few million people die as a result of it, hey, you don't have to worry. You get your bucks, and they indemnify you. Nobody will be able to sue you. They even have an existing program, VAERS, that shows how well that works at keeping any vaccine adverse event reactions from being reported. Not too much, anyway. The $138 million contract aims to achieve, quote, the ultimate production goal of 500 million prefilled syringes and doses in 2021. Now, note there's only something short of 330 million people in the United States, meaning the DOD-HHS public-private partnership intends to produce enough vaccine doses to cover every man, woman, and child in America, whether they like it or not. And as Adams notes, the only reason they need so many is there must be a mandatory plan in place. Because if the optional option existed, in other words, if they didn't force vaccinate you, there probably would be a whole lot of people that would say, rightfully, that would, by the way, include your host, whether they mandated or not, no more than 100 million doses or so would be needed. So the fact that they're manufacturing five times as many as that pretty well makes it clear. Just like Operation 6666 is going to ram certain things down your throat, your church isn't going to be allowed to meet, and you won't be allowed to earn a living when Big Brother gets their way. Well, that is unless you work for one of the big box stores or other public-private partners. Come on, if you can't see where this is going, folks, honestly, you're probably listening to the wrong program. Go back, drink the Kool-Aid, take the mark, and go to your 501c3 government-approved church and read your Romans 13 government-inspired Bible. Adams points out, look, there are all kinds of things that could be in this injected vaccine. The list of toxic and unethical ingredients that have been in similar vaccines, if you read the inserts, you'll see it include aluminum, mercury, thimerosal, antibiotics, squalene, aborted human fetal tissue, formaldehyde, MSG, live viruses, an infertility chemical called HCG. What's going to be in the mandated coronavirus vaccine? Well, they know and you don't, and let me say it again. Do you trust them to tell you anyway? If they're indemnified against killing you or causing adverse reactions, what motivation do they have to tell you the truth? Oh, yes, they'll make it a law. Well, gee, folks, it was a law at one time that shall not be infringed that you had a right to keep and bear arms. That your right to go to church, to worship, shall not be infringed. That there were all kinds of rights that they're infringing the living hell out of. You can't get in on an airplane without having to be unlawfully searched and seized and groped. Do you really think, I'm going to say it again, are people really this stupid that they believe that a government which routinely gang rapes something that they put their hand on a Bible and swore to preserve, protect, and defend isn't going to say, hey, we lie about the statistics, we're going to lie about the number of people that die, we're going to lie about the side effects, we've already proven we can do that and get away with it. Who do you trust? I'm going to say it this way. For those that say, oh, I don't trust Trump, right, the entire left, and most of those that work for CNN, CNBC, ABC, and all the other three-letter so-called news agencies, they don't trust Trump, and yet they're going to bend over and take something that Trump approves? Well, I guess they know that Pelosi and Schumer and Schiff and Comey and Brennan and all kinds of others are in favor of it. Turns out Obama, Biden, Fauci, Comey, all of these people seem to be basically on the same deep state team. They've lied about the deaths. They've lied about the fact that they don't really give a damn, honestly, and I'm saying this kind of bluntly today for the reason that it's very important. They don't give a damn whether a lot of people live or die. They tell you that they do. That's why they're willing to destroy your business and cause more suicides, probably by the time this thing is over, than all the people who will actually, especially if it's real numbers, die from COVID-1984 anyway. Are they telling you how lethal it is, how many are really dead, what the real infection rate is, the lethality? Yeah, the figures are manipulated. None of that matters anyway. This is the key point. Because it all ultimately comes down to just one simple question. Are you a slave or not? Do you have a choice or not? If this was a free country, folks, the entire concept of mandating a vaccination, my body, my choice, the answer is hell no, I don't trust you. You get that needle away, or for crying out loud, I'm going to use every lawful means at my disposal, that includes a firearm, damn it, to say, well, as my dad put it, the answer is not just no, it's hell no. You're not going to inject me or anybody I love with something that I don't believe is necessary, and furthermore, I don't trust you, and furthermore, I know that you haven't tested it properly, especially not for long-term effects, and furthermore, you're not even telling me, or I don't trust you to tell me, what's in it. As Adam says, vaccine safety isn't the goal. We know what the real goal is. They've made no secret of this. Gates has made no secret of it. It's depopulation. It's mass murder. It's the same thing Adolf was trying to do, Mao was trying to do, Stalin was trying to do, and now they've succeeded in taking over America without a shot being fired. Says Adams, yeah, resistance against coronavirus vaccines is already accelerating. Some even mainstream so-called conservatives are starting to fight against the coming mandates, while so-called pro-choice progressives, remember, my body, my choice, now claim, hey, when Big Brother says jump, you say how high the government owns your body, they can forcibly inject you with anything they want to, because they're God and you're not. And that includes experimental, unproven vaccine cocktails. More and more people are getting more and more skeptical of the big lies they're being fed. And that's only natural if they start to realize, gee, look around. You've been fed the big lie. The battle for medical choice, says Adams, is rapidly gaining awareness. But the bigger issue, of course, is there may be vaccine wars. There may be open blood in the streets coming to America very soon. Yes, any effort by Trump or Fauci or various governors, and it'll be the governors first, folks. They'll go with the most placid, most malleable states like Illinois, New York, and the People's Republic of California. You know there'll be a lot of people, though, that will bend over and take one without so much as a whimper. Are you prepared, asks Adams, to defend your body against an assault with a deadly vaccine weapon? And it doesn't matter whether vaccines kill X or Y or Z numbers of people. Is it 1 in 100? Are your chances of dying or being paralyzed or blinded or whatever that the side effects may be, are they 1 in 50, 1 in 100? Are they 90 out of 100? Or is it a lead pipe cinch because maybe they intend to do something nasty? You don't know. And by the time you do know, it's too late, but not to worry. The guilty will not suffer any penalties. That's the one thing you can count on. And furthermore, there's this. No legitimate government would ever attempt to claim the right to penetrate your body with anything without your consent. Yeah, we know that there are things that you can do and should be doing. Vitamin C, vitamin D3, K2, get out in the sun, unless you're in California, in which case that's not allowed. The problem here is that literally everything that's being done says that they're lying through their teeth, that they have no intention of caring about lives, much less fortune's sacred honors. I want to just read a couple of quick items as we go to the end of the show here. For one, remember the Declaration? I've done entire shows on the Declaration, but essentially it says this. Yep, people, all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable. That is, up until they bend you over a car hood and try to stick something in your rear end. They are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms of government to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, wait a minute, it's too late. We're there. It's their right, it's their duty to throw off such government and provide new guards for their future security. That's where we are, that's where they were. They pointed out right up front that governments derive their just powers from the consent of the governed, and that when any form of government, like this one, becomes destructive of these ends, it's the right of the people to alter or to abolish it. Now, a couple more things from parts of the Constitution that Big Brother's minions, the minions of Satan too, who walk in men's shoes, tend to ignore. Article 6, this is one folks don't read all that often. It lays out a couple of requirements, and it says this, paragraph 3, senators and representatives and members of the several state legislatures, in other words, everyone who claims to be a lawmaker, Senate, House, and whatever your local state senators and representatives, as well as all executive and judicial officers, that would include those black-robed priests of another god, various bureaucrats and others, all of them shall be bound by oath or affirmation to support this Constitution. You know, the one that says, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, shall not be infringed, no warrant shall issue, all of those things that don't matter anymore. Do we get the point here? I did a quick search before the show here. I want to remind you of one thing. Look through that entire Constitution. Do this for yourself. Check it out. The word emergency does not appear in there anywhere. No, it doesn't say void where prohibited by law, void if we decide that it's an emergency, void if we decide we want to save you whether you like it or not, void for any reason, period. The word emergency isn't in there. A whole lot of other words in there aren't in there either, like medical or martial law or, well, essentially anything that they're doing, folks. There is no constitutional basis for any of the things that are being done. And ultimately, what we need to do is understand that. Now, there is, in fact, a lot of biblical basis for those who do know who they serve to come out of her, to be separate, and to say, you know what? I serve Yahuwah, the creator of the universe, the author of Scripture, and as the Mashiach pointed out, and him alone. That means I'm not going to jump. And not going to submit myself to, corruption of the blood. The life is in the blood, as the Bible tells us. I want to mention one more thing, because as I was thinking about this show and of the responses that people need to be aware of, you know, when a man comes to kill you, this is a paraphrase, of course, it's been understood. Well, you have a right. This is the common law understanding. Back when we had a common law and a constitution, somebody breaks into your house, Scripture is clear. Exodus 22, if you have any doubt about it, says if a thief is found breaking in and he is smitten so that he dies, he has no blood. That's the literal Hebrew. Essentially, what that means, and remember, the life is in the blood. As the line from Star Trek puts it, he's dead already. Let me say that again. When people come and break into your house in the night, you are not obligated to ask, does he just intend to rape my wife and child, or is he going to just steal my TV, or is he going to kill all of us and leave our bodies in the streets? I don't have to wait. If a thief is found in the night breaking in, you are inclined, you're able, you're scripturally justified in saying, I'm going to just shoot first and then worry later about why it is that he's breaking in and whether or not the glint I saw in his hand was a gun, a knife, or maybe something he was stealing from my dresser. When we had a rule of law, folks, there were a whole lot of things that were extremely clear, including that when people put their hand on a Bible and lie, they are not acting as representatives or agents of any lawful government. And we've seen that over and over and over again of late. Who do we serve? Who do we trust? I know this. I don't trust fascist Fauci, or the Bureaus of Lying Statistics, or the CDC, the FBI, the ATF, the DHS, TSA, FDA, pick three letters, TLA, so many unconstitutional agencies, all of which are gang-raping the Bill of Rights and saying, we don't give a blankety-blank about your God, or your rights, or for that matter, your life. We've seen that. How much longer will people stand by? How much longer will they fail to do what Scripture says? Come out of her. Be separate. Withdraw your consent, is the way the founders put it. When a government becomes destructive of the sole ends to secure these rights for which it was put in place, it's not legitimate. And the only proper answer is no. I will not submit. I withdraw consent. I serve the God of the Bible and Him alone. So keep your needles to yourself. And understand that when you violate your oath before God, you have no lawful authority at all. Push is coming to shove, folks.